Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, speak unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word that we have in our hand. We thank you for the copy of Scripture, and Lord, we just come to thee. And we ask now, Lord, that in these moments that we have left, that you'll draw very near to us. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us help to bring your word. We ask, Lord, this day that every heart will be opened and ready for the proclamation of your truth. Lord, our prayer would be this day that every ear will be opened, that every heart and mind will be given understanding. And Lord, this day thy word will come with blessing and a challenge and power to every heart. Lord, we need thee. Lord, we cast ourselves at your feet. Lord Jesus, come, stand among us in your risen power. Spirit of God, come, flow in and through us this day. And O Lord, as we leave your house, we'll be able to say it was good for us to have been here. Speak now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name and for your glory alone. Amen and amen. I want us this morning in our moments together, and as I was thinking of this service today, my heart has been turned to the thought of revival. As many of you will know, last week I was in Bridlington in England there. I had to speak on the Lord's Day services, and yet when I was there, my heart was touched with the great dearth that was in the land of England. And sad to look round and to see many places closed that used to be preaching houses. And yet I began to realize that it is very possible that such even dearth, already coming in a small amount into our land, could overtake us. And therefore it's up to the people of God for us to now seek the Lord's face and to earnestly pray that once again we will know days of a genuine revival. We often hear today of revival meetings. But let me say to you, child of God, we need a mighty move of the Spirit of God. We need a baptism of God, the Holy Spirit, to come again to His people and to His church, and that God would set His people on fire for Him again. And you will see here in these few verses that I've just read this morning, in verse 19 to the verse 21, you will see a movement of the Spirit of God. You will see revival at work. Of course, the book of Acts is a wonderful book on the theme of revival. It's also a wonderful book to read on the conversion of precious souls. Time and time again, you will read of many coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And daily there was added unto the church, souls saved. And then you can also read of individuals that found the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's an exciting book. It's a book of life. It's a book on the move. And many places you could turn to in the book of Acts and turn to the Word of God and see revival at work. But I want us just to consider this part of God's Word. You will see this revival came about through persecution. We read in the first verse 19, and it says, "Now when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen." In chapter 8 of Acts, you will start reading concerning that particular move. And the chapter 7 brings you the persecution of Stephen, a great man of God, a man used mightily by the Lord, a man full of the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 55 of chapter 7, for example, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." What a blessing to go at the end of life's journey. And child of God today, just in passing, can I say to you, many times we think along the theme of even death and how will we die and when are we going to die. And what it will be like when it comes to the crossing of Jordan, thank God His people will never be alone. Because the Lord Jesus Christ will be there while Stephen was being persecuted, while he's been stoned to death. My, he could look up into heaven and he saw the Lord Jesus standing by his side. But through this persecution, the church was shaken. The church was in a sleepy state, and my, through this year, they were afraid of their lives, and so God brought this persecution, and the church was shaken up. You will read that in chapter 8 and verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. That's what Acts 11 and verse 19 is talking about. This is the background to that particular verse. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And you will see here, God starts to work in His church. And sometimes, can I say to you, child of God, sometimes God has to shake the church to shift the church. Because we can come to the point where we come so settled in our ways, we come to the stage in our minds that we think we have got everything we need. We have our beautiful buildings, and yes, we thank God for them. We have all the activities during the week mapped out, and my, I went through a list of them this morning already. And everything's going over like clockwork. And sad to say, sometimes we're only going through the motions, really above everything else. And we're just happy to go through and to go through and to go through, and sometimes, and just going through the formalities and going through the motions and going just slipping in one week and out into another, we realize that really deep down God has to shake His church because they've fallen asleep. One day Jonah went fast asleep. One day the Lord had a work for Jonah to do, but he decided to go in the opposite direction and he went into the ship, and my, he was fast asleep, and the call came out to Jonah, "Arise, O sleeper." And you know, child of God, a lot of us need to waken up today. God's people need to awaken up and be alerted that out there today, outside these four walls, there's a town today that needs to hear of Christ. That there's a nation today that needs to hear again the old-fashioned preaching of God's precious Word. And so therefore, it is the onus on us to waken up and see today that we need to pray as ever before that God again will come and send us a gracious revival, a gracious move of the Spirit. But we have got to waken up. And sometimes God has to take His church and shake it to get it shifted. I can tell you when the natural earthquake comes to an area, and your TV has been full of it in the past number of days, and my, when the old earth starts to shake and in the country or a town or a village is taken and the houses start to move, the people run for their life to get out of, they start to shift. They don't sit around and say, sure, we'll wait and see what's happening. I can tell you if an earthquake came to Macrofell today and shook your house, you wouldn't be sitting at your dinner too long until you're up and you're out, you're running. And sometimes God has to shake His church to get them up and get them on the run. And this is what happened. And God was going to move mightily, but He had to get His church shaken and get them to the point where they start to move. And you'll see here the blessing of God, because in Acts chapter 8, God started to do a mighty work. For verse 4 it says, Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And then we have the blessing that followed, verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. My, God moved mightily, and joy came. Revival always brings joy. Of course, there's a cost in revival before it comes. But let me say to you, the end result is joy. Souls are converted. The child of God is brought into a closer relationship and walk with Him. And my, the church is on the move again. There is excitement when revival comes. Child of God, are you looking for that revival? My, did you come to God's house this today and say, Lord, I'm expecting You to work. I'm expecting You, Lord, today to give me a blessing. I'm expecting You, Lord, today to speak to me, to speak to the unconverted, to speak to the backslider today. But Lord, even to speak to me, my excitement comes. God was moving here and God had a blessing. Thank God, revival is not a one-day wonder. People today like a wee excitement in their life, and it's only a one day or maybe an hour's excitement, and it's all gone and fizzled dry. Let me say to you, revival is not a one day wonder. It's not even a 1 year wonder. It's not even a one generation wonder, because let me say to you, God's word, and it says in the psalm, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" God can send us revival again. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then say amen. Because friend, we have read about it. And you may have even spoken to people that have experienced those days of blessing, those days when the showers of blessing fell from heaven, when the seven meetings and the meetings were moved by the Spirit of God. And friend, we have read about it, and we have heard about it, and we can preach about it, but thank God we can experience it. We can. The psalmist says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" It's not just something to be read about in the past, but thank God he can send revival again, for he's God. If he's left a man, it'll be a hopeless condition and a situation. But then we're talking about God. And he's plenteous in mercy. And child of God, we come to chapter 11 and we see a genuine revival at work. You turn to chapter 11. That's the background to chapter 11. We read there in chapter 8. There's a persecution of the saints of God. There's a move set here. Now God's working in this. A number of things I just want to leave with you very quickly. First of all, preachers go forth into new fields. You read verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Here were men, and all they wanted to reach was their own people. Now these were believers. God had chosen them to preach the word, and they were doing that exact thing. They were going to the field of service. It says they were scattered afar off. But the only thing was this, they were staying among their own circle. You know the way, if we clans, I'm from the Barry clan, and if anyone says anything about the Barry clan, then I'm down there like a ton of bricks. You're all the same. And now you like to meet up now and again. You like to get together. And friend, here was the men of God, and they were sticking to their own area, their own people. You'll read that. "And unto them, preaching the word, none but unto the Jews only." We're going to stick to their own crowd. That'll be easy enough. That'll be nice. That'll just sail nicely through. You know, I'll feel really comfortable there among my own people. And mine will be onto the same language. And mine, they know me, and I'll know them. And mine, you know, they're an important people. They're the chosen people. And my, really, outside that, it doesn't really matter. But you will see a change in verse 20, and then it says in verse 20, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, speak unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." Thank God there was some else decided to preach a wee bit outside the walls. They decided to go a wee bit further again. They weren't just happy just staying among their own little grouping and now preaching the word and moving on to the same type of grouping and moving on to the same type of grouping. No. When they got the fire of God in their soul, when they got the vision for the lost, they went into other fields. And when revival comes, all borders and barriers are removed. It'll not matter what color people are, you'll go and reach them. It'll not matter what nationality they may be. It'll not even matter what religious affiliation they may connect themselves to. Let me say to you, when revival comes, divides are removed. Because God's people are set on fire. And child of God, these people here, yes, there were those who preached to their own people, but God put it in the heart for others to go on to others. They went into new fields. Let me ask you today, if God decided to call you into new fields, are you ready and willing to go? Are you just happy to sit among your own? And the Lord came to you, young person, young man, young woman today, and says, "You see that career that you studied for and worked for? Or see that job you just left school and slipped into? Young man, young woman, I have a new field of service for you today. I'm going to take you away from that because I have a new job for you." Would you say, "With the help of God, here am I, I'm willing to go"? Man or woman in this house today, if God came to you and said today, look, I want you to be a Sunday school teacher, would you be saying, then, Lord, here am I want to go into that new field of service. You see, friend, we have got to lift our eyes today far from these four walls, because let me say to you, there's a world out there today that needs Christ. I heard a song one time sung, and words come with meaning to my heart every time I hear it sung, but I'll just give you the first line of it, and it says this, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. Matthew 28 and 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It goes further and it says in Mark 16 and verse 15, it says, go ye into all the world. And then Luke 10 and 2 says these words, the harvest truly is great. But the sad thing is this, the labourers are few. And there's fields today, there's not just a field, there's fields of service. I can tell you today, Christian, there's a room for you in the field of the service of the Master. You know, people sometimes say, well, you know, there's enough doing, so, well, I can tell you, you could be soon slotted into somewhere else. When Ruth met Boaz, and my Boaz says, I want you to work for me, and I'm going to give you a place in the field. There was already workers in the field, but he plotted out a little place that she could work in. He had a place for her. Child of God, there's a place for you today. In the field of the service of the Master, have you asked God to show it to you? Or you just, well, actually, let the rest get on with it. Or would you say today, Lord, well then, whatever part of that we feel, I want to be in it. I want to serve you. Dr. Paisley mentioned one year concerning our Samaria. And friend, that's a great field of service. But you know something today? They're now sending missionaries and preachers from other parts of the world, even Africa itself, to the land of England to take up missionary work. It's that dark. A number of years ago, we were sending people to them. You know what they're doing now? They're sending people back to us. And child of God, let me say to you today, we have to go into new fields. Are we ready to go? Are we ready to go into the Catholic areas, the Roman Catholic areas? Are we ready to go to the Roman Catholic neighbor? Are we ready to go to the one that's taken up with Islam or whatever it may be? You may not like the religion, but let me say to you today, there are people who need the Lord. You may not agree with the Roman Catholic system, but let me say to you today, they need the Lord. And it may cost us to go, but friend, we have got to go. And these preachers broke the ranks. And they pushed the walls out and they went into new territory for the Lord Jesus Christ. The preachers went into a new path and a new field and into a new people. And amen, people were glad to see them. You know, sometimes we nearly make excuses for going. Sometimes we say, "Ah, but you know, they're not really want to hear us. You know, we'll be going, and we say we are Free Presbyterians. Listen, don't you go in the name of Free Presbyterians. You go in the name of the Lord. You know, the Free Presbyterian Church will not save them. It's Christ that saves." And some people start making excuses and say, "Well, we needn't go to the Roman Catholic people because you know they know who we are." I would be far sure saying today, and I would say, Brother Shields would be able to come up, Cecil could come up and say today, the more open areas today is nearly the Roman Catholic housing states than it is our own people. Why? Because their heart is rocked today, our own people. Child of God, we have got to get our eyes off the four walls that's around us, and we have got to go out. We've got to get our vision higher than what we see here. And then note, secondly here, the theme of their preaching, because it says here in verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, speak unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Why? What a wonderful message we have to proclaim. The Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, keep your testimony, keep your preaching centered around Christ, and you'll never go wrong. Why? Because this book is full of Christ. Oh, don't you worry about going in other any name. You go in the name of Christ. Philip went to preach and he preached in the name of Christ. You read that chapter of Acts 8 again and you'll see that for yourself. He went to the Ethiopian eunuch and he opened the scriptures and he preached unto him Jesus. My friend, we need to go with the Lord Jesus. That's the message. Today people are trying newfangled ideas to get the crowds in. And to try and work people's hearts up and give them a little fizz in the Christian life. Friend, let me say to you, that is all that it is. It's only a fizz. It'll soon die out. But friend, we are looking for the real thing. Mighty move. And my people need to hear today. Sinners need to hear, yes, they're under the condemnation of Almighty God. And if they never repent, and let me say to you, unsaved person in God's house this morning, you're sitting and you're under the condemnation of God, and if you were to die this day, if you never reached your Sunday dinner, and went out into eternity, you go out into hell itself, and there you'd be for all of the ages of time. Having gone from a preaching house into the hell itself, what a sad, sad end. Mary Farrell and Bertie Davison took a couple of sighs during the week and they were out. In fact, Bertie Davison went to the day center just like any other day. And Manager One has done that, haven't they? They've gone into their ordinary day's work. But before night has come, they're out into eternity. And let me say to you, unsaved person today, don't you think it mightn't be you. Because it could be. But friend, let me say to you today, yes, that's where you go to. But thank God there's a God who loves you. Praise God today, there's a Savior who loves you. And there's one today who stands, and he's pleading for you to come and trust Him. And we come and we point you to the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. And you call upon the Savior's name today, thank God He'll save you. He saved many in this house today. And His blood has lost none of His ancient power. It's still able to see you. We need to go today and tell the people about the Lord Jesus. The children sing a lovely little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then a little chorus, yes, Jesus loves me. Might you be in the house today, or maybe you're listening to this voice, and today you feel unloved. Today you feel the burden of sin upon you. Today you feel that nobody else cares. Today you feel that you've spent a night in the world and it's been a waste of time, money, and even sense itself. And today your heart is heavy and burdened and broken by sin. Thank God today Jesus can set you free. He can take the burden. And friend, that's what this world needs. Today we have a world that's groaning and crying with pain. You know, let me say to you today, when I was in Bridlington last week, I was speaking to some of the workers, and I couldn't believe what I heard, but this is the truth. And they have a children's work, and I says, well, what are you doing? And they began to talk about the children's work. And they says, we're doing the story concerning the Lord's birth. But Philip, we've even to start to tell them who Jesus Christ is. That's where we have to start at. Now nearly every child in this place can nearly tell you something about the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. Many of them can even maybe say He's the Son of God.
But let me say to you, and they're talking among little children and teenagers, and a children's meeting on a Monday night every week in Bridlington Free Presbyterian Church, they're trying to explain to children who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is. Never mind the events that all surrounded the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could go to our children's meeting on Wednesday night, and in one part of the service we could tell all our children the whole lesson story of Jesus' birth. And yet in Bridlington they've started now, because by the time they get there they had to start, because they're starting the Lord Jesus. Not a bad place to start anyway. But that's how dark.
That's how dark England is today.
And friend, sad to say, Ulster's going down the same slippery slope, because there's more I could tell you today about King Billy. And what colour a horse he rode on, and where he rode to, and the battles he fought, more than what one could tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it used to be years ago, you were sent to Sunday school. Let me say to you today, that is out the window now. You can go if you feel like it. And friend, there's a multitude of children out in Macrofelt today, and I'm not even talking about England now, and I'm not even talking about Belfast, I'm talking about Macrofelt, who haven't a clue who Jesus is. It's only a curse word. And friend, the onus is upon us to go and preach the theme, the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help us to do it. And then, friend, can I say to you, the power that was with him. How I'm going to do. Maybe you say today, Philip, and I'd love to serve the Lord. Philip, I would love to be part of the work of God, even though I mightn't go to a foreign land, but even to be someone helping out in the work in some small way, but or even to witness to my friends around me. How am I going to do it, Philip? Now, I know I have to bring the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Well, here's how you're going to do it, and here's encouragement for you today. In verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. The hand of the Lord was with them. My, isn't it good to know the promise was expressed for that in chapter 1 of Acts. You turn to chapter 1 of Acts. You'll see the promise expressed here to the people. The promise expressed to the people of God. And it says in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Acts, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There's the promise expressed to God's people. I'll give you the power to do it. I'll be your aid as you go and bring the word of the Lord to the people. But not only is the promise expressed, but the power is experienced. Because you look at these wonderful verses, because it says in chapter 2 of Acts in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Isn't that wonderful? It filled all the house, and it filled all their hearts. Look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. How are you going to do it? You're going to do it with the aid and help of God the Holy Ghost. Child of God, that's what you need. Child of God, that's what I need day by day as I go upon the work of the Lord. I need the help of the Holy Ghost. And you're here today and you say, how am I going to witness, Philip? How am I going to get through it? You're going to get through it with the help of the Lord, with the precious Holy Ghost being your aid. You can do it. And He wants to give it to you. Child of God, are you going to ask Him today, Lord, give me a baptism of the Holy Ghost? Lord, anoint me with God the Holy Spirit, that as I leave your house today, Lord, not only fill this house with your Spirit, but Lord, fill my life with it. and then fill my mouth that I may proclaim Christ Jesus in all of His fullness. And then we have the result. Because in verse 21 it says, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Here is the result of the revival of God. Inwardly, a number believed. Outwardly, many turned unto the Lord. What a change. You see, salvation's not only a change inwardly, it's an outwardly work too. You see, when God saves the soul, yes, we thank God. He cleanses and washes in His precious blood and we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. But also that salvation that we have known inwardly should be displayed outwardly. Others should see it. Others should see the change. And so not only did they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved, but when they went out back into the community, back away from the church of God, the people saw it. There was a change in their life, change in their expression, change in their countenance, change in their actions, change in their speech, change in every way. And the people of the area saw it and they wanted to know what this was all about. Child of God, we should be like that. Everywhere we go, do they see that change? They turned on to the Lord. They turned away from all that they were used to and now they were following the Lord. And you will see the change mentioned here again with Barnabas because it says in the verse 23 of Acts 11, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad. My, it rejoiced his heart. Saw a change. My, he couldn't believe his eyes. These were a different people. These people just stood out from everybody else and it thrilled his heart. They had truly come to the Lord. What a difference the Lord makes when revival comes. Not only does He change lives and saves lives, but friend, He even deals with the people of God. Makes them different. Makes a change. And the community knows it. The workmates know it. The school friends see it. The family looks back and says, this is an amazing work. Let me say to you, it is because it's a miracle when God saves us. And my, they looked and then it says in verse 23 and it says, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. They would just hold on to the Lord as they would hug you and me. I know you like a wee hug now and again, ladies. My wife does as well. My children likes a wee hug, and Daddy says it's usually a bear hug, but they enjoy a wee hug. My, they feel the warmth of Dad's arms around them and cradle in Mum's arms. What a difference it makes. And young person today, never forget your mother or father. But what a difference it makes. And yet, Barnabas says, listen, cleave to the Lord. My, just get yourself connected to the house of God and child of God. If you need to be a member of a house of God. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. God doesn't expect you to be an isolated Christian. People say, but sure, I can listen to it at home. No, you come to God's house if at all possible. You meet with God's people. Child of God, you need the prayer meeting. Some people think the prayer meeting needs them. No, you need the prayer meeting. And child of God, let me say to you today, we need to read the Word of God. We need to have our quiet time. We need to have our time of prayer. We need to have that time when we're speaking to our Heavenly Father. We must run to the things of God and hold on to them. They're precious. Inwardly, they believed. outwardly there was a change in their life. My, the old things passed away. All things became new. Do you love your brother and sister in the Lord today? Do you love this house of God today? Do you love the work of God? Do you love the reading of God's Word? Do you love speaking to your Heavenly Father in prayer? Friend, if you don't, then you've got to get things right today. And if you do, then just say, Lord, increase my love. Bring me closer, closer, closer to Thee. That when I move out from this building every Lord's Day and leave my home every morning as I go out, that I will be radiant for the Lord. That I will shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. That in every aspect of my life, none will be seen save Jesus only. O God, wilt Thou not revive us again? You might say, and with this I close, so what do we do, Philip? How do we get this sorted out there? If you turn to 2 Kings, just one moment. 2 Kings, just one moment please, and our meeting's at a close, but we have the answer in the Word of God. You'll find the answer for everything in the Word of God. 2 Kings, the chapter 19. We see the need, Philip. We see the darkness around us. We see that there is this falling away, and my, our hearts grieve. And even in my own life, Philip, I see that things have to be put right. And if we're honest, we all have that. 2 Kings, chapter 19. And verse 4, at the final part of that verse, and it says these words, Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. What do we do for Ulster today? Pray. What do we do for the United Kingdom as a whole today? Pray. How do we do it? You looked at verse 4 of chapter 19. Look at verse 14 of chapter 19. And the last part of the verse. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. That's the answer. People want a quick way of revival today, you'll not get it. God's people have to be a praying people. And He says, you pray for the remnant that's left. And child of God, it is upon us today to take the people of our land and the people of our nation upon our hearts and to pray that God will move in a mighty way and send to us another revival. Because without it, they'll perish. How do we do it? We just spread it before the Lord. Spread your family before the Lord. Spread your loved ones before the Lord. Spread the need of the work of God before the Lord. Spread the mighty need of revival before the Lord. And thank God He answers prayer. He's the God of revival. I trust today that the Lord will bless these thoughts to your heart. And the God will give us a desire for a mighty move of a Spirit. And from this day forward, we'll look outside these four walls and we'll see a nation, we'll see a land, we'll see a world that needs to hear of Christ, the mighty to save. Then will you say, Lord, with your grace and help, make me what you want me to be. May the Lord bless His word to your heart. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, We come to Thee and we ask now, Lord, that You'll just write Your Word upon all of our hearts. Lord, may we be people that are willing to go outside the four walls to reach others with Christ. Lord, help us to go with the message of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to go in the strength and the power of Your Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, give us the great joy in seeing results of lives saved and changed. And may Your people going forward in the strength of the Lord. Oh Lord, revive us again. Lord Jesus, pour out Your Spirit upon us. Lord, give us help from the sanctuary in the days to come to witness faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us as we part. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us back in Your will to Your house this night. But, O Lord, if there's some on this day and they don't know Thee as Savior, Lord, save them this morning. Restore the fallen and bless Your people. Cover us now in that precious blood. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say it. Amen. If the Lord has spoken to you and you want to speak to us, then do feel free to come to the minister's room and we'll be glad to just speak with you and go through the Word of God that it may be a blessing and even lead you to Christ or to restore you or to encourage you. May the Lord bless His Word to your heart.